The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's a bit of a rainy day here in Columbus, so hey, what else is there to do but tune in and listen to this very, very informative show that we have planned for you today. Before we get on to our guests, and well, let me tell you this. Our topic today is sports injuries, dental-related sports injuries, and how we can prevent them, and how the injuries can be more far-reaching than I think people realize. Typically, when you think of a sports injury, dental-related, you think of a broken tooth, but we're going to talk about more serious injuries that can happen and do happen. And we have a couple of guests that are on the phone are going to be joining us here soon, experts in this field. One is Dr. Gerald Marr, and the other is Dr. Dave Singh. And I will give you their bios here in just a second. But before we do that, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. And that is letting people know that in the fall, August 23rd at 8 a.m., the second annual Dr. Kvitko Golf Classic for the benefit of the Down Syndrome Association of Central Ohio will be held at Broadview Golf Course on Headley Mill Road in Pataskala. So please give the office a call at 262-9588 if you'd like to join us. Foursomes are $140, and if you only have a couple golfers, that's fine. We'll pair you up with another two. So now also, guests that do call the show with questions or comments or guesses of our Dr. Kvitko question of the day, will automatically be entered into a raffle that's going to be, the winner is going to be announced at the golf tournament. And the grand prize is breakfast with Dino Tripodis and Sean Ireland and a behind-the-scenes studio tour. So, and anybody that calls today, I'm going to go ahead and donate $5 to the Central Ohio Down Syndrome Association on your behalf. All right. So thank you very much, and please give a call, and we want you all to come out and help us raise some money. Okay, now, the question of the day, Dr. Kvitko's question of the day, seems a little off the wall, but I thought it was interesting, is this. In a recent survey of dentists, what percent of them said that they'd been victims of embezzlement? All right, recent survey of dentists, what percent of dentists said that they had been victims of embezzlement? So ponder that. Call us with your guesses. Our number is 821-1230. You can also send us an email. And if you choose to do that, the email address is dentallyspeaking@talk1230.com. Realize that's a long word, but oh well, you can handle it, right? Okay. Now, today's topic again is sports injuries, oral-related sports injuries, and how important it is to protect a person's mouth while playing sports. And by way of background, I want you to know that, and my guest to know that I have very seriously taken this to heart in my own practice. I provided mouth guards for the Junior B Blue Jackets a few years ago. I provided mouth guards several years for the Columbus City School basketball teams, one of many dentists in a program that we have here in Central Ohio. I also currently provide mouth guards for every player on my son's college lacrosse team. And, in fact, my wife and I, you know, we drive down in our motorhome and we set up a little assembly line where we make the impressions. And, you know, it's a nice way to get to know all the players and know what they look like with their helmets off. That's kind of nice. And also feel good about how we're protecting their health. So, on the show with us, on hold, and we're going to bring them in here in a second, starting with Dr. Marr. Dr. Gerald Marr has practiced dentistry for more than 30 years, specializing in TMJ and facial pain. Dr. Marr is a fellow in the American Academy of Facial Pain. He received his DMD from Tufts University of Dental Medicine in 1973. and became a team dentist for the New England Patriots in 1979. It was in that role that he was able to create and test the Marr mouthguard to meet the player's specific requests and needs. Good morning, Dr. Marr. I really appreciate you joining us today.
Good morning, Doctor.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Good, good. You have an ex-Buckeye on the New England Patriots.
Mike Vrabel.
That's him. Yep, I think he was in town here. I think he was at the station doing a commercial for someone. I think it was just this last week. I did not get to see him, but... and I also understand that because of the work that you've done, and I believe work that Dr. Singh has helped with, that the New England Patriots have the lowest level of concussions in the NFL.
That's correct.
Could you please, and I know that... I know that you have created this orthotic, and it, and of course we think of concussions as mild traumatic brain injuries, or MTBIs. That's a little hard to say, but could you explain, because I think, as I said at the beginning of the show, that people think of mouth guards as strictly something that's going to protect their teeth, not realizing that that's almost secondary. I don't want to say secondary, really, because I'm a dentist after all, and as you know, and I think as you've written, teeth do not heal themselves. Teeth don't have the ability to heal. But could you please explain to my listeners what we're talking about?
Yes. In my association with the Patriots, due to the cage on the football helmet, we have never gotten a tooth injury. So that as far as professional football goes, which is the only thing I can speak of, tooth injuries really don't occur because of the cage that protects all of your teeth and your dentition. I started designing this orthotic with an ex-boxer. His name was Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Marvin wanted to know why he could hit somebody in the jaw and knock them out, hit someone else in the jaw with basically the same punch and have no effect. In other words, what was the glass jaw? My background was in TMJ dysfunction, and I had taken numerous chiropractic and physiotherapy courses, most of which with a doctor named Dr. Mariano Roccabato, and got to understand the postural aspect of the head and neck. In designing the orthotic, I balanced the neck with the head and with the jaw as best to my ability. You try to line up the three components, put them in the best physiological position to withstand the blow that you're going to receive. A concussion is basically F equals MA, force equals mass times acceleration. You need to dissipate the force before it gets to the brain, or you'll end up with a concussion. The jaw, the head, and the neck, if they are in their best physiological position, their most stable position, then you can withstand the force better because they are in a more stable position.
And that position that you have determined to be the best position is one where the condyles of the mandible are positioned at the articular eminence, correct?
They're going down the descending slope of the articular eminence. It's very important to keep the condyle inside of the temporal mandibular joint, not outside of the temporal mandibular joint. And it's also extremely important to make sure that the joint biomechanics, namely the condyle and the disc, are in the correct position. You must have the condyle situated underneath the disc in the TMJ.
Now, I think it's an important distinction for people to understand that you can be wearing a mouth guard, even if you have a helmet with no cage, and still receive injury, and this is a concussion, because of an upward blow to the chin, because these mouth guards, helmets tend to be open under there. There is no protection for the chin.
No, and the chin strap that is put on most of these helmets, and we're having a big problem with the military right now with their new helmet because of the chin strap.
It's actually holding it posterior where you wouldn't want it, correct?
That's exactly correct, and this is why in Iraq and Afghanistan, the percentage of the MTBIs is 22% higher than in any other conflict we've ever been in. I personally believe it's due to the helmet.
Wow, and for the listeners, MTBI stands for mild traumatic brain injury, which is another word for a concussion.
That's correct.
Let us bring Dr. Singh in, if we can, and please stay on with us, though, Dr. Marr, because I want to have this three-way conversation. Dr. Singh holds three doctorates. with a special interest in craniofacial dentistry. He's a senior instructor of the International Association for Orthodontics and a member of the World Federation of Orthodontics. He won first prize in the International Association of Orthodontics meeting in 2005 and has lectured nationally and internationally and has published many dental and orthodontic articles. Dr. Singh, good morning.
Good morning.
I think we're having a little trouble hearing Dr. Singh, at least I'm having a little trouble. Can you say that again, please?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
That's a little better. Yeah. Thank you very much for getting up also. And first I have to say, three doctorates. My goodness, my son just got his doctorate from Cornell in microbiology, and I was a very proud dad, and he's very proud of his accomplishments. You have three doctorates.
Right.
Talk about a professional student. I'm just in awe of that. I really am, and I'm very grateful that you're here with us today. You actually have done some of the scientific research in conjunction with Dr. Marr, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
So you have been able then to take this result, this orthotic that Dr. Marr created, and I think he has three different mouth guard designs, and study them. And could you tell me how that came about and how, what kind of testing were you able to do? I mean, was this anecdotal from after these athletes wore these things, or was it laboratory-based? What was it?
Well, it's very important for us to be able to provide evidence to show how this appliance works. And so we did two or three different types of tests. One was to do a epidemiology type of study where we looked at high school footballers who wore the appliance. So we compared the rate of concussion that these guys had without the appliance, and then we compared it to with the appliance. And statistically speaking, there was a huge difference in terms of the decrease in the number of concussions that these guys received when they were wearing the appliance.
What was the statistical change?
There was something like a 90% decrease in risk when they are wearing the appliance compared to when they're not wearing it.
90%?
Approximately.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a huge difference, yeah.
And for the parents of these athletes out there, hope you are listening to that number, 90%. There aren't many things that are so statistically significant that are studied these days. Am I right about that, Dr. Singh?
Yeah, and this is a very clear-cut example because this was a random group. We didn't pre-select. We didn't look for any pattern in terms of kind of how they might respond to the appliance. So these results were quite impressive, but stats itself is only the beginning. We need to understand the mechanism by which the appliance was achieving those results. So the second step was to take a three-dimensional scan of the head and neck. We used what's called a cone beam, a CT scan.
Is that an iCat? Using an iCat?
Correct. Okay. Yes, absolutely. And so what we were able to do was to reconstruct the whole of the craniofacial, the head and neck region, using with the appliance, without the appliance, and compare the changes that are going on. And the first thing that we found, of course, was that the jaw, of course, does change position just the way that Dr. Marr has just described. So what we suspect is that it's a bit like a weightlifter. If they take a specific position, they've got an increased performance. They can lift a higher amount of weight. And so by changing the position of the jaw to optimum position, the craniofacial head and neck region is better able to withstand forces that would produce a concussion otherwise.
Okay.
That's the basic idea.
Hey, Dr. Singh and Dr. Marr, please hang with us. We do have to go to a break, and we definitely want to expand on this. 821-1230 is our phone number if you have questions for our guests or you'd like to guess the question of the day. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230. I want you to know that this is available by demand. Our broadcasts are available by podcast at www.talk1230.com. And if you go there, hold your mouse over the on-air icon. A drop-down box comes up. Choose Dr. Kvitko on the page that takes you to. click on Go to Podcast page, and then just simply click on the word Listen to whichever show you choose to listen to. So, today we are talking about mouth guards and how they can protect us from concussions, and why they're so important that they be used. And we have a couple guest experts on the line with us today, and Dr. Marr and Dr. Singh, who have done a lot of research on this topic, and very, very authoritative on helping us understand. Now, I want to get down to basics, and that is, doctors, you both know that one of the biggest challenges we face in the dental office is getting the patients, oftentimes the parents, to even be willing to spend money on a mouth guard over and above the boil and bite kind. And I'm sure, as does you, it just really bugs me that that's even an issue, because a concussion, you know, these concussions build up over time, and I think Muhammad Ali is the best example that we can all think of as what happens when you have repeated head injuries, and yet people don't want to pay $25. We try to keep the cost way down for a mouth guard. $25 or $35 seems really, really cheap. For the protection that it affords, and yet the parents say, well, you know, we can get one at the drugstore for $5. What would you guys say to that? Dr. Marr? Okay, so let's see. Dr. Marr, I don't think, is hearing us. And Dr. Singh, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Would you like to respond to that? Or?
Sure. I think the underlying principle here, which is very important to understand, is that each patient is individual, and so the secret for success really is customization. In other words, buy something that's off the shelf, the fit may or may not be perfect for your individual case. However, when you get a customized appliance by the dentist, that is the extra step can make all the difference between, you know, success and prevention of concussion.
Right, because it's not just having a piece of rubber that's been put between your upper and lower teeth. If that falls out during the injury or the blow, and in fact, when you receive a blow, unexpected blow, isn't the most common thing to have happen is your mouth to pop open, and if it's a boil-in bite that maybe doesn't fit, it falls out.
Right, and the other thing that happens, which is quite interesting, is when you're actually wearing the appliance, there's also a change in airway. And again, we've seen this on the 3D scannings, the ICATs that we've done, is that there seems to be a widening or an opening of the airway when the appliance has been well-fitted and optimized for that specific patient. So what this means, and here's, again, the research that we're doing, is to find out the body's physiological mechanism to be able to withstand the force because they've got good oxygenation, for example, to the upper airway.
So
this, it's a phenomenon that we don't fully understand, but there are certain things going on which the appliance does, which can help to withstand the trauma.
So in essence, if I can extrapolate, what you're saying is wearing this appliance, wearing a mouth guard that's properly fitted, if it opens the airway, it actually can improve the athlete's performance.
Well, this is the kind of information we're starting to gather. We don't have the good stats on this as yet. But if we look at the questionnaires that these athletes have filled in, there's a recurring theme where the athletes say, I feel less stress, I feel more aware, I feel more confident when I'm wearing this appliance. And so what we're trying to do is to say, let's take this information now and relate it to some physiologic mechanism which would account for that increased performance. And so we believe that airway is going to probably play a role in allowing these athletes to compete, you know, at a good level throughout the game.
Right. I mean, we've all seen them wearing the breathe right strips, you know, inhaling oxygen after running for a touchdown, that sort of thing. And so anything that opens the airway, would have to improve performance.
It's very likely. And we know that, generally speaking, especially athletes, you know, their whole area of the head and neck, the craniofacial region, is still undergoing development. And so by putting the appliance in, we're actually helping that along a little bit. That's the idea behind it.
Okay. Hey, Dr. Marr, thank you very much for hanging with us while we work through those telephone difficulties. But could you please, we have about a minute or so before break, and I talked about the cost and the parents' concerns. What would an average cost be for the Marr mouth guard? And and I think we may have either lost him or he can't hear us. During the break, what we'll do is we'll reconnect with Dr. Marr. Now, keep in mind that we are not just talking about saving teeth. We are talking about brain injury. We're talking about serious brain injury. And anytime you receive a blow, see, what it is the teeth are so hard that if you're not wearing a mouth guard of any kind and you receive a blow to the chin, the force is transferred without loss of energy from your chin to your through the lower teeth into the upper teeth and into your skull, and it essentially damages your brain and gives you a concussion. It's known as the mild traumatic brain injury. What that does, what it results in, is the rapid onset of a short-lived impairment of neurological function that's manifested by alteration of awareness, a ding or dizziness, wooziness, or fogginess that resolves spontaneously. So you've seen, you know, you've all seen the trainer with the athlete that's been kind of knocked down and doesn't seem to be moving, and they're asking him how many fingers they're holding up and if they know where they are. There is long-term build-up effect of these things, and we just can't take them lightly. And one of the reasons for doing this show while we're doing it, or when we're doing it here in July, is because the high school athletes, the high school football players, and in particular the college football players, and even the NFL, they're all in training camp. And, you know, they need to be thinking about this. Parents, don't wait till game day. Get these things fabricated now for your child. And it's just not just boys, girls as well. So, we do have to take a break. You're listening to Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Kvitko. We will be right back.
You make me smile. Never thinking that it could be so.
Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. And today with us, on the on hold, or with us on the show here, are two doctors who are experts in this field, Dr. Marr. And Dr. Marr is the team dentist for the New England Patriots. And Dr. Singh, who holds multiple doctorate degrees and who is doing and has done a lot of the research into this question and how Dr. Marr's design is working. And being the researcher that he is, I couldn't get him to commit until the data is in, because I was saying how it makes sense to me that there'd be more oxygen and better performance, and Dr. Singh is still working on that question. Now, Dr. Marr, first of all, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. I'm happy to have you back, and we are so sorry about the telephone difficulties. I asked earlier when you couldn't hear me, and that is, you know how the parents, they don't want to spend that extra money. We always have tried to keep the prices down. And could you tell me, what is an average cost for a Marr mouth guard that a parent would see?
The fee that I charge in my office is $300.
Now, I imagine there are listeners going, whoa, $300. You know, I'm not one of them, because I understand that that can save thousands of dollars of dental care. It can also save thousands of dollars of medical care and, of course, keep the athlete healthy into their older years. But it's very well worth it in my mind, but is that a hard sell? How do you get the parents to really say?
No, not really. First, it takes two visits in my office to construct it.
Okay.
So that there aren't too many times you can go to a dentist and have an office visit and have it be under $150. If you are doing a full team, you can lower the price because you are doing more people at the same time. It would be an advantage if any doctor plans on fitting an entire team. You usually can lower the price by doing that. Because you're not talking office overhead. As you know, as a dentist, what office overhead is. In my office, it runs approximately $100 an hour. So that if I am doing multiple student athletes at the same time, that can lower the office overhead.
Yeah, and it's do you typically do it where it's kind of like the team comes all at once, or do you just have them come in over several weeks at their leisure? How would you normally do that?
Usually I try to get as many of the students in at the same time as possible.
Yeah, that's what we've done at our office. It's kind of an all hands on deck. Everybody in the office is geared up. We have 10 treatment rooms, so we would have all 10 rooms in use, and lots of impressions going on, and lots of wiping the crumbs off their lips. You know how that goes.
Yes.
And the office is a mess when it's done, isn't it? There's this alginate everywhere.
Oh yes, yep.
But you know, so the high school kids, they are currently in their training camp, and I found that the biggest resistance to even wearing a mouth guard sometimes is the coaches won't mandate it. What have you found?
The biggest problem I have found with high school sports is they will get a mouth guard made, and then they will cut off the posterior part of it, or for your listeners' point of view, the back part of it, so that the only part of the mouth guard that you see is the front part. This is the worst possible thing you can do, because you need to give stability to the head, and you need to give stability to the jawbone, and that is done by the back part, the posterior part. So the worst thing you can do with your mouthpiece is cut off the back part of it so that it isn't quite as bulky, because you're really putting your jaw in an extremely vulnerable position for a concussion.
So, I think I just learned something, because are you telling me all those mouth guards I made, secretly they went home and took some scissors to the back of it and so that their coach thought they had it in?
Yes.
I'm sorry. All that work and, I'll be darned. I'm going to have to check my son's high school, college lacrosse players and see what they're doing. That's kind of disheartening to find. Anyway, the other thing that you have developed is this orthotic, and I know that you train dentists how to make your special orthotic.
Yes.
Because you give seminars, and that is a completely different thing. In fact, that's not even visible to anyone who would see the athlete. It doesn't cover the front teeth. Am I right?
That's correct.
And so the sad thing about that, if I'm not mistaken, is high school sports, typically you have to have a mouth guard that is a color so that the ref can see right away whether you're wearing it or not. So how do you get around that rule? Because the orthotic seems to be the best way to go, and I'm going to guess is even more expensive, but and does a better job against concussions, but maybe would not be allowed to be worn by high school or maybe even a college athlete.
There have been certain referees that have not allowed it. We had one case in Massachusetts that the boy had worn it for 2 years, and the referee did not allow him to wear it in his Thanksgiving Day big game. And Thanksgiving in Massachusetts is when we have all the big rivalry games.
Yes.
And so he was not allowed to wear the orthotic that I had made for him, and he had 4 concussions as a freshman and sophomore when he was playing for this particular high school. And he had none on his junior year, none senior year. The referee told him he couldn't wear the orthotic. He made him put in basically a stock mouth guard that the trainers would carry, one size fits all.
Or one size fits none.
That's correct. He put it in his mouth because he was the captain of the team and wanted to play, and he got a concussion within 6 minutes of the game.
Wow, that's awful, actually.
So what I do is, if you get an orthotic from me and any of the doctors that I've trained, I give them all the paperwork for this. We put on our own stationery that this is a specially designed medical device that is designed to lessen the incidence of concussions. I would never, ever say eliminate concussions, because it won't eliminate concussions.
Right.
But it does cut down on the amount of concussions due to putting the head, neck, and jaw in a better physiological position. So I give them a letter.
Okay, that sounds good. And so then if that athlete would give that to a coach, or have the coach give it to the refs before the game begins, then there should not be a problem, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, that sounds like a good way around that. When we come back from our break, I want to talk a lot more about the Bee Protect Orthotic. I want to talk to Dr. Singh about the science behind that as well, because I believe that, tell me if I'm wrong, but that is the one that I think you're using primarily in the NFL. And if I'm wrong, you tell me after the break. You're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking, with Dr. Kvitko.
So hear me when I'm saying,
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome back. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. All right, today we are talking about mouth guards, mouth injuries, how to protect our kids against them. We have two experts in the field on the show with us today. We have Dr. Marr and Dr. Singh, and they have worked together on the science behind these specialized mouth guards. That one's called the Marr mouth guard, and the other's called the Bee Protect Orthotic. And before the break, I asked Dr. Marr, before we go to Dr. Singh and get the science on the Bee Protect Orthotic, I'd like to find out, Dr. Marr, you mentioned $300 for the Marr mouth guard, which I think is a bargain. How much would it be for this Bee Protect Orthotic on average?
The Bee Protect Orthotic is $500.
Okay, so it's actually not that much more. And that's the one that can truly, or it does the best job at preventing concussions, even though there's no such thing as 100%.
I feel it does, yes.
Okay. Dr. Singh, you can hear us, can't you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I can't hear him. He's a little bit soft. Let's see if our producer can bring him up a little bit. Hold your thought, because we want to try to get the volume up. So in the meantime, Dr. Marr, go ahead, if you will, and explain to our listeners. I have seen a picture of this. I know what it looks like, but I don't think our guests quite understand what this Bee Orthotic is, because it's, if you can't see it when it's in, what could it, you know, where is it?
It is an acrylic orthotic, and it fits over your lower, which we would call your mandibular, teeth. Okay, it starts at your first bicuspid and moves back to the second molar.
The key to it
is it gives stability to your maxilla. Your maxilla is probably the most important bone in the skull as far as giving stability to the head or the cranium. All of the maxillary teeth are supported by the orthotic, which fits on your lower or your mandibular teeth. That's your big key.
And the reason it's not visible is because it only covers the back teeth on the right and left lower, and then it's connected behind the lower front teeth with a wire-reinforced layer of acrylic, correct?
Usually I use a lingual bar.
A bar, okay.
Stainless steel lingual bar.
Okay, so stainless steel metal bar that goes behind the lower front teeth, kind of like a retainer would have for those people that have a bonded retainer, except this one just lays there just below the gum line.
That's correct. It would look like any sort of a TMJ-style splint. The big key to it is the position that you are putting the mandible in relationship to the cranial base.
Okay, and the mandible is the lower arch, and the maxilla is the upper arch. And something I don't think a lot of people really know or they have thought about, and that is the only arch that moves is the lower. I know sometimes I'll ask a patient, can you turn your move your teeth to the right, and they'll ask me which teeth, upper or lower, not really realizing it's only the lower that moves. Now, because the lower does move, therein lies the problem, because it's that cinglomo-arthrodial joint, one that is both hinged and sliding, if it didn't do both of those functions, we'd probably have less of a concern over it. Is that also correct?
Yes. It is the only joint in the body that moves in two directions basically at the same time.
Yeah, so that has its own set of problems. I also remembered that I made mouth guards for my son's ice hockey teams when he was playing high school ice hockey. And we need to make sure that we include the girls' women's sports in this. And are women more or less apt to receive an athletic type injury to their mouth or their concussion?
They're much more susceptible to concussions.
More susceptible.
Much more. There was a research study done in your area at Ohio State University approximately 6 months ago, and girls are three times more susceptible to a concussion than a boy.
Wow, three times. Again, an amazing statistic.
That's, yes.
So parents are listening out there who have girls, women, athletes, and keep in mind we're talking about prices in the $300 to $500 range for these very, very special mouth guards that will protect your child. It's very well worth it. You should give it serious consideration. At the very least, do not trust the boil and bite. Do not trust the ones you buy in a store that say one size fits all, which, you know, me, Dr. Marr, and I'm sure Dr. Singh agree is one size fits none, because it's you may as well not even have it if it's not going to be there when you need it. Dr. Singh, are you able to hear me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. I can hear you this time. So would you please explain the science behind the bee, Protect Orthotic, and again, for our listeners, that's the one that's clear acrylic in the back, and you can't even tell they're wearing it.
Right, and so basically by wearing this appliance, you are moving the position of the mandible. Now, that lower jaw, the very back of that lower jaw, is the joint that contacts the underlying surface of the brain. And so if a blow is received to the chin, the back of the jaw is going to smash into the underlying bone which the brain rests on. And that's the underlying mechanism by which a concussion can be caused. So now when you're wearing the appliance, what the appliance does, it reduces, it dissipates and absorbs the energy. And it's also moving the lower jaw, so it's not contacting the lower part of the cranial base on which the brain is sitting. So there's multiple mechanisms by which it can prevent this trauma from happening.
Okay, and then the thank you for that. And the research that you've done, was that also where you took different groups and you just studied and followed their progress or their lack of concussions? How was that one done?
Yeah, this is actually an ongoing study, and there are several areas that we want to look at. Number one is in terms of epidemiology. In other words, how is the incidence of concussion being affected when you're wearing this appliance? Then there are other areas. For example, the material from which the actual appliance is made, is there an optimum kind of composition that we could use that would help to dissipate, reduce, and absorb those forces? And then the other thing that we need to look at in terms of the muscle physiology, when the appliance is in place, how are the neck muscles, for example, being affected? And as we said earlier, girls, females tend to be more susceptible to concussions. And the idea behind that is that younger people and female people tend to have lower neck muscle strength compared to adult males, for example. So the same force in an adult male could produce a more serious effect in a younger person or in a female because they've got a reduced muscle mass. And so what we're supposed to do here is put the appliance in and help to see and engage the activity of the muscles to say, you know, what's the change going on here? Then we get a better understanding of how this appliance is actually working.
Yeah, and it's just, it's to me, it's intriguing. It's so great that you guys are doing this research, so that it's not something that you know, it's not open for discussion anymore. It's this is real. These products, these mouth guards, will protect your child, protect your athlete, and we're talking about protecting them against some very, very serious injuries. We do have to go to a break, and I'm almost afraid to, because when we come back, maybe I won't be able to hear you again on the phone, but I do need to go to a break, and we'll be back. So you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko here on Talk 1230 WYTS. Talk 1230 WYTS. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We've been talking to Dr. David Singh and Dr. Gerald Marr, who are experts in the field of mouth guards to protect us and our athletes against concussions. It's been a very good, lively discussion, and in fact, we're running so short on time that I'm going to ask both Dr. Marr and Dr. Singh if we can maybe continue this on another day. Would you guys be open to that?
I'd have no problem with it.
Okay, and Dr. Singh?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I mean, it's been very, very enlightening, and I apologize for you know, we just have to pay the bills. So if we didn't have those breaks, we probably could have gotten more of the actual meat of the topic covered, but there's so much more that I think needs to be discussed. I want our listeners to know that you weren't able to call in your guesses. We did have a couple guesses on email, and that Stephanie emailed us a guess of 25% for our survey of what percent of dentists said they'd been victims of embezzlement. That was not correct. Dean sent in a guess of 10%, which is not correct. And honestly, earlier, while the phones were still cooperating, we did have one call off the air of Tony called in a guess of 30%. The answer to the question, and maybe you gentlemen would be surprised yourself to hear, is 59%. So almost 60% of dentists apparently have been victims of embezzlement. Very interesting. So, and I want to apologize to our listeners. Because of our phone difficulties, our guests were actually using the phone lines that would have been available for your questions. And hopefully the next time we have these gentlemen on, our phones will be working a little better and there will be an open line for you to call. So, I want to thank my guests wholeheartedly. I really appreciate your time and getting up and being with us. Very, very informative, and I do want to continue this. And if you'll both stay on hold, we'll pick a date while we still have you here. You have been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask here on Talk 1230 WYTS.